Please take a seat. There we go. Welcome. Wake up. There we go. Let me add my welcome. My name's Andy. I'm one of the pastors here at City Gates, and it is really fantastic to have you join us for this carol service. And I just want you to imagine you get a knock on the door, and you open it, and it's one of the team from the People's Postcode Lottery. And they have an envelope, and it has your name on it, and it's addressed to you. The camera's filming as you pull out the card, and inside it tells you how much cash you have won, and it's all tax-free. Could be thousands. I was reading descriptions of how people responded to big wins across the country. Some people were delighted in Dorchester. There was some jolly in Crawley. Doesn't quite work. Others were ecstatic in Exeter. Your name is on the envelope and it's addressed to you. Imagine it happened to you. What would the caption say if it happened to you? Swooning in Sprouston, dancing in Drayton, going nutty in Norwich. Yeah, thank you. Let's be honest, an injection of free cash would be really handy right now to pay for the cost of living. You know, for many of us are facing really tough times. It would be transformative. A gift of cash addressed to you would bring relief and help for a time until it runs out. Friends, have you realized that when it comes to God's gift of Christmas, it's addressed to you, and it's a gift that lasts forever? See, as we gather tonight, it's as if God is knocking on the door of your life, and he has extraordinary gift, and it's addressed to you. See, the shepherds were the first to hear the breaking news, and what they heard changed their lives back then 2,000 years ago, and it can change our lives here tonight. You see, they were crowded around the campfire, warming themselves in the middle of the night when the floodlights came on, lights like they had never seen before. And I imagine as their eyes adjusted to this brightness of the light, they saw an angel with a message for them. And this was their message. This was his message. Look at this. Luke 2, 10 to 12. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. See, this angel has a message from God, and it's not just for the shepherds, it's for us. And there are two aspects of it worth dwelling on. And the first one is this: this message is reliable. It's a reliable message. You can test it. Now, I'm just aware we're here and we're talking angels and babies and shepherds, and there's a temptation for us to put it in the same box with Winnie the Pooh and the Tooth Fairy. But what we're dealing with here is history. It's real people. It's real events. At the start of Luke's account of Jesus' life, we read this, Luke chapter 1. This is how he describes his book. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught. What the most up-to-date scholars reckon that Luke's gospel was written down between 56 and 58 AD. It's about 25 to 30 years after the events that had happened. And he's very clear. This has come from eyewitnesses. He's carefully investigated it. He's talked to anyone and everyone who were there, probably including shepherds. You see, as we come to Christmas, we are not coming to a fantasy story. This is not a long time ago in a galaxy far away. We're not coming to Chinese whispers either. These are not events that have been written down hundreds of years after they actually happened. So Jesus went for a swim, and 100 years later, it turns out he walked on water. Jesus turned up to a wedding with a flask of Ribena before it was invented, and hundreds of years later, it became water into wine. Now, that's not the case. This was written down in the lifetime of people who were there, who saw it, who heard it, who tasted it, who touched it, who could say, it really happened. Real people, real events. I'm aware I'm saying that, and you might just say, well, but a choir of angels, really, the supernatural? And to that we want to say, look, if God became one of us, wouldn't you expect a few abnormal things to happen? In fact, wouldn't you question it if nothing extraordinary happened? See, this is reliable. You can test it. In one of the previous churches that I worked for, they used to run Hope Explored type course. And at the start of this course, they just give people an opportunity to say, look, why are they here? What are they hoping to get out of it? And I'll never forget one where one chap said this, middle-aged guy, he said this, I've been given 6 months left to live. I've got incurable cancer. I like the message. I need to know if this is true. So you can test it. You can see if it's true. You know, I wonder for you, if you've ever read a copy of the account of Jesus' life as an adult. Maybe you did it as a youngster at school, but you haven't looked at it since. Well, look, take a copy away. It'll take you a couple of hours. You could read it over Christmas. Or why not come on that Hope Explored course? You know, 3 nights, interesting people, really interesting discussions. What's not to like? We'd love you to come along to that. You can sign up on the website, or there's information in one of these books. You see, this is historically reliable. But it's not just reliable. It's not just something you can test. It's also wonderful. See, what happened that first Christmas is wonderful. God has come for you. We know names and titles matter. I don't know if you heard of the robber who went into a shop and he pointed his weapon at the first person he saw, and he said, before I rob you, I need you to tell me, what is your name? And this lady said, my name is Jane. And he said, my mum was called Jane, that's fine. No, I can't do anything to you, you sit down. And he turned to the next person, he pointed his weapon at them, and he said, tell me your name. And he said, my name's Dave, but my best friends call me Jane. Names and titles matter, but look at the 3 titles that are given to this baby. So the first title is this. Look at this, verse 11. He says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's a Savior. See, he will save people from their sins through his own self-sacrifice on the cross. See, Jesus didn't come to tell us how to be saved. He came to save us. And the difference is absolutely crucial. It's not that he stood on the side of an icy river overflowing as humanity is drowning, shouting out advice on how to escape. Now, let's be clear. The human condition is broken. It's in a mess. You know, it doesn't take much for us to realize that there is a lot of rot in society, and often we find that rot is deep inside each of us. We know when we're honest with ourselves, we are drowning. And Jesus isn't there shouting, swim harder. Do a Wim Hof and tough it out. You know, that's what so many religious systems or many beliefs or secular advice is. It's save yourself. See, Jesus doesn't come to tell us how to be saved. He dives into the cold, dark water to lift us out of our sin and death and the righteous judgment of God that we all deserve. He does it by his own death for our sin. You see, this baby is a savior. But also, did you see the other thing here? He's not just a savior, he's also the Christ. He is the Messiah. See, Christ is the Greek, Messiah is the Hebrew, but both mean the same thing. He is the King. He is God's eternal King. He is the King of David's descendant. See, the promises made in the first half of the Bible about this king are painted on a canvas that is the largest imaginable. This king will come and overturn death. He will rebuild the whole of creation. He will bring the world we all want and long for. That is the Christ. That is this baby. But there's a third title he is given. He's not just the Savior. He's not just the Messiah, the Christ. He is also the Lord. See, who alone could accomplish everything promised of this Savior and King? No one less than the Lord Almighty. Only he can deliver what we long for. The eternal salvation, his never-ending rule. It's utterly remarkable that this Savior, King, and Lord is there, gurgling in a manger. Who has he come for? Who has he come for? Just get that verse back up. Verse 11, flip back. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He has been born for you. See, I think the remarkable thing is not that angels turned up at all. It's who the angels turned up to. And it wasn't the king. It wasn't the multi-millionaire footballer. It was shepherds. And shepherds were people you probably didn't want to meet down a dark alley. They were tough. Actually, they were social outcasts. They were nobodies. And yet they were the first to hear. God has come and sent a rescuer for them. And if he sent them for them, he sent them for all of us. A friend was telling me about someone they knew, and every year they would put their Christmas cards back in a box, and the next Christmas they would put them back up because they wanted people to think they had friends. Now that's tragic, isn't it? But there's a little bit of all of us that can relate to that. Moments where we think, does anyone actually know me? Does anyone care for me? Well, the baby at Christmas says, God knows you. He sees you. He loves you. And he wants to rescue you. This baby, as we're sat here 2,000 years on in Norwich, 2022, is for you. It's to you. It's as if God is knocking on our door and he is saying, I've come to rescue from sin and judgment so you can know the living God and be part of my forever kingdom that death can never take away. You know, one of the joys of this time of year, if you've been in Norfolk for any time, is going up to Horsey Gap to see the seals. Have you done this? If you haven't, you need to get there. Some friends came up from London last weekend. They didn't want to see us. They wanted to see the seals. There's a whole colony of grey seals, and they come onto the beach between November and January. They give birth to tons and tons of these little pups. And there is one of these cute, gorgeous little pups. Look at them. Well, we met some pup rescuing people when we were up there. And they said, the thing about these pups, let's keep that picture up because people don't want to see my face. They want to see the pups. They said the trouble with these pups is they can often get caught in these rocks. And the real issue with that is when the sea comes in, because they haven't shed their fur, they can't swim properly and they drown. And so these pup rescuers come up, and we had a chat with them. And they have the biggest gloves I have ever seen. They were like Kevlar. They were incredibly thick. And they're these huge plastic guards over their fingers. And I said, why do you need them? And they said, those pups are evil. You go near them and they will bite you. And they are full of a whole host of diseases. You will not do well if they bite you. See, here are these pup rescuers coming to the rescue to a bunch of pups who don't want to be rescued. They don't know what's best for them. See, the tragedy of Christmas for so many of us is we are just like those pups. God has come to rescue us in Jesus. And either we think we can do it on our own, we don't need him, we're going to be fine for God, we'll certainly get to heaven, it's okay, I don't need you. Or we ignore him. And God says, don't be a fool. I'm knocking on the door. I've come for you. Will you come to him? See, that is the joy that can bring the greatest joy of Christmas that could ever be. Coming to know Jesus as your Savior and King and friend. He's knocking on the door. Will you come? Let's bow our heads.